Welcome to the Our Savior Speaks podcast from Our Savior Episcopal Church, located at 4227 Columbia Road in Martinez, Georgia. Through this podcast, we'll be sharing messages of hope and encouragement that can be found in the life and lessons of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will also explore ways in which God can work through each of us to make our Lord's grace and love a reality for all of humanity. In a few minutes, we will hear the sermon from Sandy Robando, where she focuses on the Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel. She will speak of how the people in the Old Testament lesson want a human king like the people around them, rather than seeing God as their king. It will be noted how we tend to try to do things on our own rather than turning to God, and how our own ways will usually disappoint if we fail to connect with God. We will soon hear a reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 8, verses 4 through 11, and chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. From Psalm 138, from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, 13, through chapter 5, verse 1, and from Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 20 through 35.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not yet rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow the ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you on that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may also be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel said to his people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal, and there will renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us now chant together Psalm 138.
Thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. That the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly, he pursues the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You'll stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemes they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was standing around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Folks, I'm not going to lie. When I got this preaching date and I read the passage from the Old Testament appointed for today, I was like, yes! Because this is one of my favorite Old Testament stories. Because it really takes me back to when I was teaching political science back at AU. One semester I had the opportunity to teach a course that we call it a 4950. It's a special topics. You as the professor get to make up whatever you want to, whatever you want to do in this class. And so the title of the topic that I chose was Why Government Doesn't Work. And we had a rollicking good time for a semester in that class and learned a lot. But we started by spending the first couple of weeks talking about our expectations. That is, what is it that we think government ought to do? What do we really want or expect government to deliver for us? Now, as you might imagine, in the classroom, you're going to get a lot of different answers, right? If we did it here, we'd get a lot of different answers because each one of us has different expectations and different understandings of what those things may mean. And it's that disconnect between what we expect and what actually gets delivered that creates this impression that government doesn't work. It's at the heart of the problem. And it's that disconnect that's at the heart of today's Old Testament passage. I got to do a little history. You got to get a little backstory first. Okay, so after leaving Egypt and entering Canaan, the Israelites endured this period of real hardship and suffering. Once they're there in the Promised Land, they find themselves in the midst of these much more sophisticated cities. These Canaanite cities, these people practiced agriculture, and they engaged in not only local but international trade. And the Israelites, they're just nomadic, you know, like sheep herders. So obviously their cities are wealthier, they're more prosperous, and I can't help but think that the Israelites must have felt really inferior. Like, wow, look at what they're doing. And so the Israelites did what people do. They started copying what the people in the Canaanite cities were doing. They figured out how to do agriculture and engage in trade. And along with those things came some other things that God did not approve of. Idol worship being the main one. So to make matters worse, by the way, each one of these tribes, they were doing their own thing. They would every now and then they'd get together and do something together, but basically they were totally autonomous. So they were really easy pickings for anybody that wanted to conquer them. So when the suffering became too much to bear, the Israelites would repent of the idol worship, and they'd go back to God, and God would give them a judge, a leader, and the leader would rescue them from their suffering. And then the judge would die, and the whole cycle would repeat itself. So there's this cycle going on. The judge lives and reigns, and everything is fine, and then the judge dies, and then it's all back to chaos and being conquered and suffering again. So in today's passage, the Israelite leaders, the elders, they've come to their current judge, Samuel, and they say, "We have got the solution to this problem. We're going to break the cycle. Give us a king." And Samuel's really hurt. He takes it personally. He really is. He takes this as a rejection of his leadership. So he takes it to prayer, and God points out to Samuel, they're not rejecting you. Just relax. This is not about you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Because they have decided they don't need to come to me for solutions for their problems. They can just go to the Canaanite cities and get answers. And they don't need me to lead them or be their king. They can find a human who will do that for them. So God tells Samuel, just give them what they want. Give them what they want. But make sure that you tell them, you warn them what's going to happen. And so Samuel does what he was told to do. He tells the leaders the king is going to take the best of what they have, including their children, but that he will probably disappoint them. The people expect a king that's going to deliver prosperity and freedom, But instead, their human king will take their property and turn them into slaves and may or may not deliver the prosperity and the freedom that they desire. They won't be slaves of a foreign king anymore. In essence, they will be slaves of their own king. But none of that dissuades the elders. They prefer to trust their solution, a human king, to deliver them from the problem, their problems. They prefer that to the eternal God that created them. Today's lesson is ancient. You realize the story is almost, it's probably about 3,000 years old. But it is so modern. It is so very, very modern. There are threads in this story that speak directly to some of our most basic everyday human habits. And there are threads that speak to the political divisions that we face in today's society. So here's the first thread. The Israelites notice that their more sophisticated, prosperous, happy neighbors have kings, so they want one too. We are determined to have a king over us so that we also may be like other nations, the leaders tell Samuel. Isn't this strikingly like the modern keeping up with the Joneses? Granted, now, we may not be wanting to add a king to our life, but we might want the new car, new house, or some other toy that our friend, our coworker, our neighbor has just acquired. It made them happy. Surely it will make us happy too. Now, intellectually, we can all sit here and we know this doesn't work, but this constant effort, we know it doesn't work. It just leads to endless frustration and unhappiness, but we keep doing it. And in fact, if you think about it, our entire economy is built on this. If you think I'm crazy about that, the next time you watch television, I want you to look at the ads carefully. What are they appealing to? Your desire to be more beautiful, cooler, richer, right? It's the same thing. It's exactly what we're seeing in today's lessons. They have it, you need to have it too. And we do this, we just do this on an almost daily basis. We neglect to take our problems to God in prayer, and instead we struggle, right, to find a solution for ourselves or find someone else to solve our problems for us. So God cares, though, about all of our problems. God loves us, wants to hear from us. God cares about all of our problems from the smallest to the largest. Whether it's the safety of our nation or the state of our relationship with our neighbor, we should never hesitate to put our problems small and large in front of God and ask for help. And let's think about those solutions that we come up with to solve our problems. Well, they inevitably disappoint, don't they? Just like the Israelites will end up with a king that takes the best of what they have and enslaves the people and never keeps them 100% safe all the time, the solutions that we craft to our modern problems will also disappoint. Why? Because whether we live in Old Testament times or today, we're all flawed. We're all flawed. Our minds and imaginations are limited. Our solutions inevitably reflect our flawed nature. Only God has the wisdom to perfectly solve all problems. And this is a message that matters also in an election year, where we have political parties and we have candidates that promise that they will save us from all our problems. And, oh, by the way, those other people are evil. So in this big picture, where these people are trying to sell themselves to us, we might want to remember that they're all people just like we are. I really don't care what political party or candidate you prefer, but if you really think that there's a party or a candidate that can save America from all its problems, then just like the ancient Israelites in today's story, you will be disappointed. They will fall short. And as individuals, it's tempting sometimes for all of us to think that in a world that struggles with war and starvation and violence and oppression, God's too busy to be concerned with our little problems. But I want you to hear again the words from today's psalm. Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. That's us. That's all of us, each and every one of us. So let us take our struggles, our problems, our challenges to God in prayer and ask for God's help, confident that our prayers will be answered in God's good time. Amen.